John chapter 1, starting in verse 29. God's word says this to us. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen him and testify that this is God's chosen one.'" This is the word of the Lord. Many of you, and although maybe not all of you because I haven't seen you in so long, but many of you know that Becky and I are expecting another baby in February, which means it's coming up soon. And right now, a common occurrence in our household is that Becky will grab my hand and say, "Here, feel this," and put my hand on her belly to try and feel our little girl, second little girl, moving around or kicking. About half the time, I'm not quick enough and I miss it altogether. But those times when I do get to feel her squirming in there or kicking or pushing an arm out is pretty incredible. It's an exciting experience. And it's natural that Becky would want to share that excitement and that experience with me, right? It'd be kind of strange if she didn't care to share that, if she wasn't excited about it and didn't want to share it. Well, the passage that I just read for you that we're going to talk about for a few minutes tonight is about somebody who's experiencing something that's exciting and that he's excited to share with others. That person is John the Baptist. If you've been joining our Advent series this past month on Sunday mornings, you know that we've been going through again this first chapter of the Gospel of John, where the Apostle John tells the story of Christmas, and he does it in sort of a theological, philosophical way, leaving out most of the things that we heard in the story that the kids told or that maybe we're familiar with. There's no shepherds or angels or Bethlehem mentioned in here. What the Apostle John focuses on again when he goes through here is, who is this Jesus that we know about and who was born? And he talks about how Jesus is God. God the Son who came and dwelt among us, who was born as a baby. The one who created the world, entering the world. The logic that holds the universe together, coming to show us the truth about life. But sprinkled throughout that chapter of John chapter 1, that every once in a while the Apostle John talks about a different John, not himself, but John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the one who was sent ahead of Jesus to prepare the way for him. And so the passage that we're looking at tonight picks up when John's preaching and he's talking about Jesus, and Jesus shows up and he walks up and John says, "Stop everything. This is the one that you need to see." He's excited to share who Jesus is. He says, "Come, look, quick. This is the one. He's here." Now, this passage isn't a typical Christmas passage, right? It takes place when Jesus is already an adult. So why are we talking about it on Christmas Eve? Well, here's the reason. Because at Christmas time, we see Jesus everywhere, right? He's on Christmas cards and in nativity scenes and on the cover of magazines, and they're talking about the historical Jesus and National Geographic and all the other ones that you see in the checkout at the grocery store if you still go out. We sing songs about Jesus. It's just part of the culture, right? But most people don't really care that much about Jesus. And if we're honest, maybe some of us don't really care that much about Jesus. You know, you're a Christian and it's important to you maybe, but really you're more excited about Christmas cookies and Christmas presents and decorations and turkey dinners with family, if you can even do that this year. And so when we come to Christmas, we need to be reminded who Jesus is and what he did for us, why he's so important. And that's exactly what this passage is about. So let's look a little bit again at some of these verses. Verse 29 says, "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" If you watched our service on Sunday and participated in that, you heard Pastor Aaron speaking about John the Baptist. And this verse takes place the next day after that. That's what it means, the next day after the passage we looked at on Sunday. When John is still preaching and baptizing people next to the River Jordan in the southeastern part of Israel. And while he's doing that, and there's a crowd there listening to him and coming to him, Jesus walks up to John out of the crowd. John looks and sees Jesus, and he recognizes him. We don't have time to really go through this whole passage today, but John, if we were to read through, John had seen Jesus, had met Jesus before this, and God had revealed to John who Jesus was. And so when Jesus comes at this point, John recognizes him, and he stops in mid-sentence and he says, "Everybody, look, it's the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sins of the world. Stop looking at me. You need to know about him." He looks at him and says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Later on in this passage, he'll also call him God's chosen one. And we'll touch on that in a moment. But we're mostly going to talk about that phrase. "Look, the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world," or "who takes away the sin of the world." What is that talking about? Why would he call Jesus a lamb? Well, if you've read the Old Testament, one of the things you've probably picked up on in there is that a lot of animals die in the Old Testament. There's a lot of animals that are given as sacrifices to God. And often there's a theme of substitution in those stories about animal sacrifice. It's a strange idea for us who just aren't part of that world, but it was a very common thing in the ancient world and very important to the Jewish people and the nation of Israel as they worship God. And one of the most important of these sacrificial animal stories is the story of the Exodus. If you know the story of Moses from the second book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, God's people were in captivity in Egypt. They were slaves, they were oppressed, they were mistreated. And God sent his servant Moses to the people to say, "God wants you to let my people go." And the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, had his heart hardened, and he said, "No, I will go." And he doubled down on the oppression. It was cruel and unjust and mean. And over the course of a long period of time, God gave him sign after sign after sign that he should listen, and Pharaoh wouldn't listen. And the story comes to a conclusion when God finally sends an awful, horrible judgment on the nation of Israel. On the nation of Egypt. He sends the angel of death into the nation of Egypt and kills the firstborn sons of the entire nation. Every household loses someone. It's a horrific and horrifying story. It's terrible and sad. And yet, when we look at the story and we understand what's going on, there's actually a lot of God's mercy in this story. This is after a long period of God warning the Egyptians that they need to listen to him. And even in this judgment, and here's the really important part, God offers an opportunity for salvation. He says, here's what you need to do. My angel is coming in judgment tonight. But what you can do is you can take a lamb that's perfect and has no defects or blemishes. And you can sacrifice it. You can kill it and eat it with your family as a meal tonight. And take the blood of that lamb and put it on the frame of your door. And when my angel comes, he will see the blood of the lamb on your door and know that you are somebody, you are a family who has put your faith in me and obeyed my commands and done what I've told you to do. And the death of that lamb will mean that the angel will pass over your household and your child will be spared. God gave this not just to Israel. He said, anyone can do this. Do this, and I will spare your household from this horrible judgment. And so the Israelites and some other people from Egypt, I believe as well, also did this. And the angel came and wiped out an entire generation of firstborn sons, except for those families who had sacrificed this lamb and put the blood on the doorposts and obeyed God in faith. The lamb died instead of that child. This is a story that, I mean, if you're a Christian, if you've grown up in the church, you know this, and it's sort of well known, but it's kind of odd, right? I mean, think about, why would a lamb spare a child from judgment? Why would a lamb be able to take the place of a person? Well, what's sort of strange about this is the Egyptians, in despair, they set God's people free. And there's sort of more to the story with the crossing of the Red Sea. But as the Israelites go free, the rest of the story of Israel is them just disobeying God and rebelling against God and oppressing other people and being cruel and sinful and forsaking God for false gods that they've made up themselves. And what you find out about them is really they're just as bad as the Egyptians. They're not better. They have just as much sin and deserve just as much of God's judgment as the Egyptians did. So how does a lamb deal with that problem? The lamb couldn't take away their sin. The lamb couldn't change who they are. A lamb's life, though important, one of God's creatures, isn't as valuable as a human life. How could it even stand in the place of a person? And there's this tension that goes through the rest of the Old Testament, the rest of the first half of the Bible. How are these people who are sinful and rebellious against God able to have a relationship with Him? And God gives them a whole system of worship that involves more sacrifice, that they have to go and sacrifice lambs and goats and bulls and pigeons if you're, you know, on the poorer side of things. And there's this whole system of animals being substituted for the sins of the people in sacrifice. And as you read it, you start to get the sense, this can't work long term. This isn't doing what it's supposed to, you know, maybe what we think it's going to do. And there's this sense in the Old Testament that these people need to be rescued. They need to be forgiven in a way that's going to actually make a difference in their life. They need to be saved by somebody. And so there's these prophecies that start happening in the Bible of one who will come to rescue God's people. There's actually a number of them. There's these prophecies of a great king who will come and bring righteousness and peace to them, who will lead them in good living and save them from their enemies. There's prophecies of God's chosen servant who will come and have God's Spirit empowering him to teach the world righteousness, but also to suffer for the people as well. There's prophecies of a great prophet who will come and teach them God's way. And a lot of these prophecies come together, especially in the book of Isaiah. We've read a few passages from there tonight. And Isaiah 42 talks about this servant of God who's empowered by God's Holy Spirit, and he's called the chosen one of God. That's what John's referring to when he says, this is God's chosen one that I saw the Spirit of God come down on. And later on in Isaiah 53 says that this servant will be led like a lamb to the slaughter, though he was innocent. And so all of these prophecies come together in the person of Jesus. That's what the New Testament starts with. And when John starts his gospel, he's showing us this is who that baby was who was born in Bethlehem. He's the Word of God, the light of the world, the glory of his Father. He was declared by the voice crying out in the wilderness, John the Baptist,
who said, this is the one that you need to know. And so when John sees him, he says, this is the Lamb of God who doesn't just deal with problems for a little while. He takes away the sin of the world. He's the one that we've been waiting for all this time, this servant of God, his chosen one. And here's what's strange. I'm not sure how much John the Baptist actually understood what he was saying when he said that. Because later on, he gets a little disillusioned with Jesus and wonders, maybe he wasn't the real one. Things aren't quite going the way I was expecting. There's a lot of suffering involved in what's going on with him. I don't know if John knew that he was saying Jesus is the one who's going to be sacrificed as the Lamb was in our place to take our sins. Maybe he thought, as some of us often do, well, he's the one that God has sent. He's just a good person who can tip the balance and be a good example and lead us and show us how we should live. And Jesus certainly did a lot of those things. But the scandal of Jesus that people didn't understand is that when he went to the cross, he didn't go in defeat. That was his whole purpose. Well, a lamb literally can't deal with my sins. And really, even another human being dying in my place can't really deal with my sins. But God, the eternal creator, who came to show us his Father by becoming one of us, and living a life that I could have never lived by being perfect and sinless, and then dying as a substitute in my place, nailed to a cross so that his blood and his suffering is poured out for us. He who is innocent, afflicted by God, for my sins and for your sins. Well, that person can do those things because of who he is. You know, this little devotional message, it started off talking about John the Baptist when Jesus was an adult, and that doesn't seem very Christmassy, and it kind of turned into a Passover message for a while, and that's not very Christmassy, and now we're sort of talking about Easter, Jesus dying on the cross and rising again. But we're talking, it's Christmas Eve, right? It's because Christmas Eve is just the beginning of the climax of the whole story of the Bible, which is all about Jesus, who came to rescue us from our sin. And like those Israelites thousands of years ago, who believed God and obeyed him and let the Lamb die in their place, God calls us today to do the same. To look at the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. To believe God and obey him by putting your trust in Jesus who died in our place and rose again. Most of you watching this, you already know this. And you rejoice in that truth. But maybe you need a reminder tonight of our real joy after a really difficult year. So let me say it again. Look at the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The salvation that Jesus brought you is the reason for the joy, hope, and peace that we so often talk about at Christmas. That's true no matter what else is going on around us right now. It's true no matter how hard 2020 has been, and it's true no matter how hard 2020 might yet be or how good it might yet be. It's the truth that we need to remember and to hear. Even if you're just alone this Christmas and lonely and struggling, Jesus brings joy, hope, and peace that can transcend that. Because he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He takes away your sin. And if you've put your faith in him and his death and resurrection, there's no judgment for you. And God is with you. And you are forgiven and made new. So find hope and joy and peace in that truth. Some of you that are participating in this Christmas Eve service tonight, you don't know this. Maybe you've never known Jesus. And this is really the first time you're understanding or hearing this gospel. And again, I would say to you, look at the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He can change your life forever and bring you peace in the midst of a pandemic and joy in the midst of suffering and hope in the midst of uncertainty. Forgiveness for your sins and a new life. Look at the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And there are some of you that I know because you grew up here and you learned these truths. I taught you some of them in the youth group maybe. And you heard them on Sundays as you grew up with our previous pastor, Pastor John, preaching them to us. And your parents taught them to you. But you've walked away from it. And this might be the only time that you engage with any kind of church service all year long. So I'm glad that you're watching tonight. Because I want to tell you the same message. Look at the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Don't forget what you knew. Don't reject the truth that you grew up with. Come back to the one who loves you so much that he gave everything for you. Maybe it's not even that you don't believe it, it's just that you want to do your own thing. That's so ridiculous. This year, if it's proven anything, is that you don't know what's going to happen in your life. And only the hope and joy and peace and security and love and kindness that Jesus brings can get you through the things that life will bring your way. So look at the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Look at the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's the message of Christmas. And I pray that God speaks to us through this. The words of the Apostle John quoting John the Baptist about Jesus tonight. May you carry this with you tomorrow and in the days and weeks to come as we enter 2021 and whatever's going to happen next year. May God bless you. Merry Christmas.